Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is positively baseball season. Took me a long time to find the slides of the sunshine over Oriole Park at Camden Yards, but lo and behold, we got a real pennant race here, hon. Ain't the beer cold? We're doing 31 crab cakes and 31 breweries in 31 days in August throughout the state. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill, Window Nation, and of course, the Restaurant Association of Maryland. I really wanted to have this guy on a couple weeks ago. I have sort of an obsession with Shohei Ohtani. I have some stories about being in New York the night he pitched and didn't go because it was 100 degrees and he got shellacked. I have some stories about missing him here and there and him not starting at Camden Yards. But this guy wrote a book on, I don't know, the greatest sensation of the modern era. I mean, we talk Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders and my buddy Brian Jordan from out of Milford Mill. But what Ohtani has done has warranted an early book. And I like when the books are in English. Jeff Fletcher joins us now. Yeah, Fletch is a multiple offender here on the old program at WNST Classic, but has inked this book. Dude, I'm sorry I missed you when you were in. I would have had a crab cake with you at Fadley's, and you're still all in, traveling, masked up last year, like all of that over this time, because this sensational thing has happened during plague time, right?
Yeah. I mean, the deeper into COVID we are, the worse Ohtani was. So 2020 was basically his worst season. And then 2021 obviously was great, but the beginning it wasn't great. So it got better. So maybe he just needed to have the media in the clubhouse with him, or the media around, and that made him better. So I'm going to take credit for it.
Listen, I've had I had Dave Sims on the show. Actually, he had a crab cake with me. He joined me down at my friend Tony's place at Luna Del Sea, right across the street from Oriole Park. We had a crab cake tour, and the Mariners were in. And he stopped by, and, you know, I love Japan. I love Asia. I love going over there. They love baseball. They love Bobby V. What's not to love, right? So we got to talking about Ichiro and how good his English might be and communication. And I was close with Messina back in the day, and he would always say that, you know, the Japanese guys, they Matsui, they spoke better English than maybe you realized. Communication, and tell me in plague time, the Japanese media in following Ichiro, there, every time Ichiro came to town, they'd have to open an auxiliary press box for 50 or 60 in the early days. What's it like as a guy that's been recently thrown out of the media?
There's about 50 media members that follow Ohtani every day.
Japanese members or?
Yeah, Japanese.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And that includes cameramen and, you know, photographers and all that, everybody. But, you know, it's gone up and down a little bit, but it mainly stays. There's like a core 40 to 50 the whole time.
He is a beat unto himself. He is a beat.
For sure. As a matter of fact, and I know we may get into this about the topic of him being traded. He is not going to be traded. We're not trading him. But we did have this kind of just joking conversation with some Japanese media the other day. Like, so if he's traded, you guys just all just disappear like the next day. None of you would be here. And they go, nope. So we'd be all alone. But
they could be in Baltimore if we take such gander around here. Now that we're building, yeah, we need some centerpieces, right?
Well, as long as the trade is just a fake imaginary thing, sure, we could talk about it.
So what do you need? You need Rutschman, Hall, and Rodriguez, right, for him? Is that what you need?
Yeah, and the ballpark, too.
Well,
stadium in Anaheim, so maybe they could lift it up and put it in.
Dude, I don't want to be mean, and I did every ballpark in 2015. I think I elbow bumped you. The day that I was there, y'all were playing the Yankees. Rosenthal, and I was Rosenthal's assistant at the Baltimore Sun back in the 80s, right? So, I mean, I was on the phone with Rosenthal when the earthquake happened in 89, taking dictation when he's in a broken payphone during the earthquake, right? So Rosenthal's there, and he had his game face on, and it was the day that your general manager, the ish hit the fan. I think the general manager got fired. 15.
He quit.
August. No. July.
June 1st.
Okay. Fair
July
enough.
That's 1st, something like
July 1st was the day I was in Anaheim. Yeah. I drove up from San Diego. I saw a game in San Diego because I saw 30 ballparks in 30 days. I went to 30 games. Oh, nice. It was an afternoon game. And I did every stadium, and I rated stadiums, right? And I know Tampa sucks. Oakland has like charm to me because it smells and feels like Memorial Stadium. Like literally, even the trajectory of the seats, it feels like what it did when I was a kid. I thought the Anaheim Stadium was the worst stadium in the league. And now I did go to Turner. They hadn't built the new Atlanta yet, but I just thought for what they were trying to do there in sight lines and where they stuck the media down in the right field corner where, you know, everybody's heads crank like this. Poor Gary Miller, I saw him doing this. I thought like this can't be for long with the Dodgers up the road. Like I know Moreno wants to win and Joe Madden, you had the wisdom of Madden there. A lot of Rick Vaughn probably before it's all over with too through that period of time. But I thought the stadium at the heart of it for them to really compete, they need Disney World or Disneyland. Sorry.
Well, the stadium's not great, but I wouldn't say it's the worst. I think it's just old. You know, it's just hasn't been updated and it's kind of gotten to be bad by attrition in comparison to the other ones. There's so many new ones.
I just thought that maybe as an experience to drive up, park in that parking lot on that kind of a night in Southern California with the beach and to sit in there, even though it's got a rock pile. I just thought it's the one you could really improve. Not that Oakland, you can improve a lot of them, but I thought it would have more potential.
I don't think Dodger Stadium is that great either. Dodger Stadium looks nice, like once you're sitting in your seat, but the getting in and out and getting around it, it's pretty old too. So,
but I feel like it's worth it when I get there.
Yeah.
See, you're anti-Dodger. I'm learning this whole. This is the whole Orange County thing going on.
I think both
here.
Of the stadiums are in the bottom, Dodger Stadium and Angel Stadium, because I like. There's so many new ones that are nice. As a matter of fact, right now I'm in Kansas City, and I think old stadiums that are like not in this new generation that we've got, I think Kansas City's the best.
And it's so the one that's closest to the Big A.
1995, Kansas City's the best.
No doubt. And my mom always thought the fountains were like the greatest thing ever as well. Jeff Fletcher is here. The book is Showtime, The Inside Story. And you have to have a press credential to tell an inside story of Shohei Ohtani and the greatest baseball season ever played by Jeff. So this is out. And I wanted to like have you in before he came to sort of preview the series. I guess at that time, the Orioles were about to, you know, really catch the fire that they've become here this month. Dude, this has been five really awful years, not just COVID, not just all that, but really, really bad baseball and trying to build it back and get it back to where it is. And it feels like we're looking for a Trout. We're looking for an Ohtani. We're looking for a genius like Joe Madden. We're looking for all these things that have been part of the soup out there, but haven't been really successful. And I guess that the fact that you would think that I'm going to ask you if he's being dealt after you just wrote a book about him and the media contingent follows him around speaks to the disappointment of a franchise where there was hope. There was no hope here. Now all of a sudden it feels like there's hope. That's a fresh feeling we haven't had around here in a decade or so.
Yeah, well, if you want Joe Madden, he's available. So,
maybe get him on the show at the very least to pick his brain about wine and wisdom.
There you go.
That's his own experience altogether. He's his own book.
Yeah.
What happened with him there? I mean, because that's a big part of this. I mean, he couldn't make it work, right?
I think that they had kind of a collective everything go wrong for that team, you know, this year. They had a 14-game losing streak. And after game 12 of that, they just had to do something. And I kind of thought they would just fire, you know, the hitting coach or the pitching coach, because that's usually like the first thing to go when a team is playing so badly. But they just went straight to the top and fired the manager. It certainly wasn't his fault. And they've played much worse since they fired him. So that perhaps is further indication that it wasn't his fault. But, you know, that happens in baseball. It's usually not the manager's fault, and he usually gets fired anyway.
Well, in the case of covering this and covering Shohei Ohtani, give me the soup to nuts on the book, right? So there was an Ichiro craze. I remember Fernando Mania, even though you Angels people don't like that so much, but that's probably my first Fidrich was my first mania, you know, that I went through, talking to baseballs and all that. I went through the Hrabowski period. But for all these manias that happen, we're having an Adley Rutschman thing here where he's the star, he's the energy, he's hugging pitchers, they're winning ball games, like all of that. For Ohtani to come over and be so celebrated to begin with, and the recruitment of him and actually getting him to come play and pick your franchise and be a part of what you're doing. This is something that certainly benefited the Mariners. There was a road laid for that we talked about, but not for someone that's going to pitch and play the outfield 6 days a week. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was there was a book there because he is doing something that nobody had done in 100 years, and he did it incredibly well. And also the path that it took him to get him there was really interesting because, like you mentioned, he had some bad years. He'd gotten injured. There were a lot of questions about if he was actually going to make it, and then to actually put it all together in 2021 and have this sensational season. And, you know, the title of the book is Greatest Baseball Season Ever Played. And I don't think that's hyperbole. That is for real. I mean, it had been 100 years since anybody was a two-way player seriously. And I think it's not hard to make an argument that what Ohtani did was harder than what Babe Ruth did, because, you know, baseball's integrated. There's so much more technology. The competition is so much better. And also, Ohtani was a pitcher for the entire season, and Ruth was basically pitched for half of those seasons. So it was the greatest baseball season ever played, and somebody needed to write a book about it. And I have been, you know, on the Angels beat for Ohtani's entire career. So I just figured I had the best perspective on it, so might as well be me.
Sort of like Kiss, masked and unmasked throughout all of that. For you, with his story and picking it up in the beginning and English and whatever barriers to telling his story and bringing him over, the expectation, and I just had a friend of mine, Doug Ware. I want to give Doug a shout out because he listens over in Dundalk. He has a Sadahara Oa bat. I did a I'm related to Louis Aparicio, so I have a card collection that was missing for 20 years. I thought it was stolen. I found it when Tony Siragusa died. I unearthed this incredible collection of Aparicio cards, and they invited me down to the Babe Ruth Museum. So I brought them down, and he came up to me with this Sadahara Oa thing, and the notion that he could have come and played in America in 1975 or whatever and hit some home runs and done all that and been a good player, been a great player, we'll never know. I was on the trip down to Cuba in 1999. You know, when I'm seeing players down there like Omar Linares, who never had a chance here, and what could have been Mike Schmidt, or could have been Brooks Robinson, or could have been Cal Ripken, right? And the opportunity to do this, for the pipeline is there, yet still nobody in our culture. Did you play Little League, Fletch?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, where'd you play your Little League, man?
Ohio.
Ohio. Did you have like the manager's son who played shortstop and pitched and hit 562 and was the one kid that get hit? I had Mark Karolkowski. He's a listener too. Shout out, Mark, who was the kid on my team who did that. And thinking like in Little League, it happened all the time. And somewhere between there and like the reality of Jim Palmer could hit a little bit, but you wouldn't want him playing outfield 4 days a week. And McNally could hit a little bit, but you wouldn't want him. The notion that you'd want anyone to do this or encourage them to do this, or just say you're better at this than that, right? And everyone for our grandfather for every year that has been the barrier to say pick one or the other, dude. You can't do both. No one's ever been allowed to do both.
You know, it's funny. Last year the Angels played in the Little League Classic in Williamsport, and there was a lot of discussion then about how it's perfect for Ohtani, because Ohtani, what he's doing is Little League. That's what you do in Little League. You're the best hitter and the best pitcher on the team. And Joe Maddon had this quote last year. He said, like, it's like Little League. Ohtani's the best pitcher, the best hitter, and first in line for the ice cream cone. So that's what he was last year. And it was just something that nobody does in the major leagues. And you don't even do it in college, really. So it just was, that's why it was so incredible.
Following Maddon around, I'm a big fan of Maddon, right? Like, I've been covering coaches forever. John Harbaugh, Brian Billick's my business partner, like all of that, right? So I love coaches. I like to get into their minds. I write books about such things in the way you do as well. Maddon, and following Maddon around, to think that Maddon sees this and says, I ain't ever seen this. Nobody's ever seen this. And to sit there after starts and have him talk about and then pencil him back in the lineup the next 3 days, speak to Maddon's vision of this, because I'm sure you're looking for storytellers. He seems to be one of them. I don't know your relationship with him, good, bad, or indifferent, but from the outside, he would be an interesting guy if you had a good relationship to really learn a lot about, because he's been on the show and I know him a little bit socially. I would love to spend a year chasing Joe Maddon around talking about stuff like this. Probably not when they're not winning, though. And that's a whole, right? I mean, it's a whole different thing.
Well, if you take a look at that cover there and you go back and look at the forward by, what does it say?
Oh, Joe Maddon. So tell me about Joe Maddon.
So Maddon was really the perfect guy to have for the narrator, so to speak, for Ohtani's season in real time, because he was a great, you know, baseball philosopher, and he could tell all the stories. And you know, in a baseball season, you talk to the manager more than anybody. And to have Joe Maddon talk before and after every game that Ohtani played was just perfect.
So what should we know about him? What where are the secrets? Where are the lies? And where are the truths here?
About Madden?
No, about a Shohei.
Okay. I mean, I think that
I'm going to ask your best Madden story now that you wanted to give it away.
No, I'm not. He's got his own book. You can have him on when he does his book tour. I think it's coming out.
No, I just want your best off the record story on Madden. That's all. I mean, I just want your, that's all.
I think the best stuff about Ohtani is really how he kind of changed his game to get to where he was in 2021. Because I think we all saw 2018, he comes to the major leagues and he did it as a two-way player first 2 months. People didn't think he could do it, but he did it. And but then he got hurt. He hurt his arm pitching June of 2018, Tommy John surgery. He went through this whole thing with PRP and stem cells and everybody's like, cross your fingers, maybe that's going to work. It didn't work. And then he was injured again in 2019. He comes back in 2020, COVID season, pitches like two innings and gets hurt again. And it was a disaster. He was terrible, and he was terrible as a hitter. And I just think that a lot of people had given up on him and didn't think it was ever going to happen. And so for him to come from that bottom to what we saw in 2021, the top, I think that is just the book. That's a great story.
Expectations when he came over from everyone. And I guess I told the Sadahara Owa story because back then we were all saying, well, how would that translate? How would Cuban baseball translate to here? Are there players that could make it? Sure. How would they make it? They might be Clemente for all we know, right? So for him to come over after being over there, because hey, look, Adam Jones, who didn't talk to me much when he's an Oreo, talks to me a lot now that he's been excommunicated, kicked out of the family. But he loved it over there, loved all the vibe. I mean, I've been over to Japan and I got that he would want to seek to come over here and play. And I know financially and I'll hear all of that, but you know, there was no saying that it was going to turn out in any way that there'd be a bidding war and that it would turn out to be a successful book, a happy book. Because some of these things, Hideki Araba was not a happy ending. There's a lot of good stories that didn't have happy endings.
Yeah, I think that anybody that comes from Japan, there's skepticism if they can do it here. Because it's obviously harder. And there's a long list of guys that are great in Japan and they come to the major leagues and they're not great or flat out bad in some cases. So we didn't know, and in spring training of 2018, he was certainly terrible as a pitcher and a hitter. And we thought, well, maybe he's just going to have to start in the minors and not going to be able to be a two-way player, and maybe this is not going to work, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think that he wanted to prove that he could do it. Certainly nobody knew that he could, and that he did, and then he had to prove it again, basically, in 2021, you know, that he could do it because he hadn't done it for a couple of years. So there's definitely been skepticism following him throughout. And I think now is just at the point where, you know, now that he did it last year and he's doing it again this year, people are convinced that this is what he can do. I think the question now is like, how many years can he do it? Just because nobody has done this before. There's no track record for how many years your body can do this. So that is, I think, the next thing that's out there.
The book is Showtime, the inside story, Shohei Ohtani and the greatest baseball season ever played. Jeff Fletcher is our guest. He covers the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles. I remember all the names and saw a great Nolan Ryan, Frank Tanana throwback picture on one of my crazy 70s super Twitter feed things that we do here. You still love baseball? You know, I go through these phases. It's been here all my life. It's all I've ever really known. We've had such awful, awful ownership here. Just, you know, it reminds me of what the Washington football people have gone through, where you have a whole generation of just sort of getting beaten down in every way from what I do for a living all the way through. But there is a love and an innate summertime. And for our community here, just over the last month, and look, they're not going to draw 46,000 strong. They're not going to draw 3.6 million. I don't know what they, you know, what it's going to end up being, because it's something different to younger people than it ever was to me. And certainly putting the game on with shifts and all of the things that I think have really kind of broken the game, the leadership here. And every time I see Rob Manfred try to get out in front of this, I really do wonder the direction of baseball. And now with a team here that's competitive again, I wonder, it used to just be flick the lights on, and the organization was arrogant enough to just think, well, one day we'll win. And when we win, you'll all just come back and pay full price and get the bobblehead. Y'all want to be here. It really didn't work that way in the 12 and 14 and 16, the Buck era. It was nice. It was good, but it was nothing like what we had witnessed here before. Washington had a franchise. We have special circumstances here, kind of like you do with when things are really good in one direction. The Dodgers are outspending everybody and playing good baseball. It's harder to be the Angels. But the Orioles have made this mess. And then we find baseball that if you go back to the game now, really, it's a wildly, wildly different game in every way, not just gambling and starting pitchers and how they're used and using up innings and when we're starting DL Hall's clock and like all of these things that fans need to know about. And the game is shrinking, and I don't know that the leadership vibes it, and you're really close to it. So you tell me what it's like to be in mostly a lot of these empty stadiums and wondering, like, When's the gold rush coming back for the sport, and what's going to make it come back if it's not this kid and it's not Mike Trout?
Do you need me for this interview, by the way?
Go ahead, man. Give me your thoughts.
You know, baseball's definitely got some issues. I think that they're trying to work on them, you know, the pitch clock and, you know, limiting the shifts and maybe the bases a little bigger so the guys steal more. I think that the game has changed for sure from what we remember when we were kids. I think the biggest problem, though, is there's too many strikeouts, and I don't know what the real solution for that is, just because the pitchers have just gotten too good. And, you know, just the evolution of pitching versus hitting, and the hitters can only do so much. The hitters can't really swing their bats any faster or anything like that, but the pitchers keep throwing it harder and making it move more, and it's just gotten really hard for the hitters. So I think that we've gotten this game where it's just like strikeouts, walks, and homers, and I don't think that's as entertaining as game as we used to have. So that is what's happened. You know, I think as far as the entertainment value, that hurts a little bit, and there's so many other things too in the world now, Netflix and all that stuff, that hurts a little bit too. So they're working on all that stuff, but I don't have all the answers for it.
Do the players talk a lot about these trajectories and angles and the things that, again, I have my press pass. I don't get to ask these guys questions. I mean, this would be the stuff I'd be at the batting cage 30 years ago talking to Greg Biagini about launch angle and all of the stuff that he saw with his eyes that Sparky Anderson would stand down on the field and see. There's now measurement for everything that I'm unaware of, this science, right? Like, I see it a little from the outside, and I'm not anti it, but I'm trying to understand how players adjust to it and how someone like you that's there every day would have to talk differently with players about what they're seeing and what they're being taught.
I mean, I don't think they care about any of this stuff, the entertainment of the game. I think they are each just trying to perform the best that they can so they can continue to be major league players and make a lot of money and win the World Series. So they don't care if the fans are entertained. You know, when they're up at the box, they, you know, if they can get a walk and it takes them 2 minutes of nine pitches, awesome. You know, they think it's great. So it's really not their job to worry about the entertainment value. Their job is to perform and basically go to the plate and not make an out, so the next guy can go to the plate and you can win the game and win the World Series and everybody make a lot of money and have a big house. So that's what their job is. It's up to the people above them, the commissioner, to make it entertaining for all of us.
Yeah, I can almost like hear Walt Reniac at a cage in the 70s Raiders saying to George Brett, when he says, slow the game down. Slow the game down when you're in a box. Slow the game down in your mind. Slow the game when you're hitting. Slow the game down in your mind. And there's a whole life of it's what I would be saying to myself if I were walking out of the box right now trying to hit a 94 mile an hour, right? Like, I'd say, got to slow this down a little bit. And the whole slowing of it down, I think, is part of that. Jeff, I know I got to let you go. Hey, man, congrats on the book. I know it's a labor of love. Usually my first question is, you wrote a book. Are you nuts? It's hard to do, right? And it's hard to sell it. And I hope you sell a million of them. And certainly I hope it's – is it published in Japanese?
It is.
See that? That was a good question, wasn't it?
I'm selling more in Japan probably than here.
Good. Well, good. Have you been to Japan?
Not yet. I'm working on that, though.
Please go, and by all means, eat well. What's he doing here? He's got props. What is that? I can't see it. There was, it's your Japanese hardback version, right?
Yeah, it's not hardback, but it's
Japanese. It's got a different picture on it. Okay. Licensing. I like that. Look at that. All in Japanese, man. I think they read back the front, I think. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I don't.
It goes up and down.
I can't read the menu. You know, all I'd say about Asia is I'm missing a finger. I had a lawnmower accident, which gave me a hell of a curveball, you know, when I let it go like that. And it's affected my whole life, but I didn't ever think I could eat with chopsticks. And I went, but this happened in China, but it lingered into Japan, where I got shamed. They brought me toothpicks to eat soup because they didn't have forks or spoons because they had chopsticks. And so I, in my adulthood, one of my proudest moments is learning how to eat with chopsticks. So take your chopsticks, go to Japan, and eat well. Ask Adam Jones to find a good steakhouse for you over there. He's got a lot of recommendations. Thank you for very, very, very much for time well spent. I owe you a crab cake next time you're in. All right.
All right. Cool.
You got it. Jeff Fletcher, the book is Showtime, The Inside Story of Shohei Ohtani. Baseball, they're still playing it. We're getting excited about it. It's like real again. Get down to the ballpark, stop at Fadley's, get a crab cake. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll be out 31 crab cakes, 31 days, and it'll be everywhere. It'll be all over BaltimorePositive.com.